Hey, Eagles fans, welcome to our fan forum. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. The coaches in a last-minute meeting here just before they break for the night, so we will be joined by Pat Shurmur and Bill Davis as soon as possible. In the meantime, for those of you who have a question, please hit star 3, and our screening staff will get a hold of you and get your questions up for the Eagles coordinators. Pat Shurmur, of course, the Eagles offensive coordinator. Bill Davis, the team's defensive coordinator. The Eagles coming off the win on Sunday over the Washington Redskins. The players had practice today, and then they've been given the rest of the week off. So really exciting to be here with you tonight, and exciting that the Eagles are in a good place right now, that three straight wins really helps a lot. We're joined now by Bill Davis, Eagles defensive coordinator, who joins us here. So if you have a phone call, jump in, hit star 3, and we will get this teleconference going. Bill, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
All right, so we're joined by thousands of Eagles fans across the country here who are joining us to have a little chit-chat about the Eagles defense and the offense when Pat joins us as well. First, for the defense, tell me after 11 games how you feel about the Eagles defense.
Well, we feel good about it right now where we are. We still know we have a lot of work left to do, but the guys are a bunch of hard-working, intelligent. They really love football, and it shows in their daily preparation. And thankfully, some of that has been hitting the field, and we've been able to keep some teams with the points down in the teens, in the 20s and teens where you'd like them. But we've got a lot of work to do.
What was it like when you – the kind of the teaching process, going through it? You're taking a team with a lot of personnel that played in a 4-3, moving it to predominantly a 3-4. You've always preached patience and learning and trust, and you're seeing all those results week by week, aren't you?
Absolutely. I think when we started this this undertaking, we knew we had about as big of a change as you could ask for, from a wide 9-4-3 to a 3-4. We had to see which players could do the new techniques we were asking, and that's what we spent most of our time in the offseason looking at with the OTAs and the training camp. And as we kind of found out about them and they found out about us and they got to know the scheme a little bit better, and a lot of it, too, was all the free agents we brought in. They hadn't played together or next to each other, communicated with each other in the heat of battle. So all those things we needed to find out, and I think early on in the season, in the preseason, we found those things out, and we've gotten a little bit better every week with a lot left to go.
All right, let's get to some live calls. If you have a question, please hit star 3, and we will get to you. Let's go to Eric, who joins us. Eric Wittrich, welcome to the Fan Forum, Eric.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Bill, I'd like to ask, as your players get more and more used to the 3-4, is there anything in particular within the scheme that you're looking forward to maybe doing a bit more of or doing a bit differently than you are now, and how do you think that might change going into year 2? Thanks.
Thank you for the phone call.
Well, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing you build on when you're growing any scheme or defense is you start with the bare bones and teach that so the players understand it thoroughly. And you kind of what we call hard call your defenses. You give them a front and A coverage to play no matter what the opponent comes out in. And you've got to chance of being in a bad call or a bad coverage to whatever they pose you. As you grow a defense and they learn more than just the bare bones and you find out what they do well, you can now move to where you can, for instance, double call something to where they have a if this then that type scenario where we could go from one type of a zone to another type of a zone or switch who the blitzer is or who the rusher is. And as the season has gone on, we've moved closer and closer and done a little bit more of the, more versatile scheme and more of a check with me system that we give to primarily D'Amico, and D'Amico's in charge, and that's grown, and we've had some success with it.
We welcome you to the Fan Forum tonight. If you have a question for defensive coordinator Bill Davis, please hit star 3. We'll get you in the queue, and our screeners will get to you. Let's go to a question from Mark in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Mark, thanks for joining us on the Fan Forum.
Hey, fellas, how are you?
Great, thanks.
Hey, guys, listen, real quick, I want to give both Pat and Bill credit on two guys in particular. First of all, I couldn't be more excited being an Eagles fan right now. To be quite honest with you guys, around 5 weeks ago, it certainly didn't look like we were going to be where we're at now. But these two guys I'm talking about, Vinnie Curry, I guess that one would be for you, Bill, and Pat Riley Cooper. Vinnie Curry, to me, by the way, looks like he really belongs in the NFL now. I know he wasn't getting much playing time in the beginning, and every time he's in there, it looks like he's doing something destructive. And in regards to Riley Cooper, I guess this goes to you, Pat. I always felt as if Riley Cooper would have got some time, he would have become the receiver that he's become. Those two guys right there, fellas, if you want to speak on those two guys, because I'm really impressed with these two young fellas.
Hey, Mark, thanks very much. Bill,
thank
let's
you.
First talk about Vinnie Curry.
Oh, Vinnie's been a pleasant surprise, but not really a surprise. You know, Vinnie's always had a very explosive get off and first step, and I think that's why he really was a great fit for the wide nine. And he's got an elongated stance, and he's got a great get-off. He's a gap penetrator is really what he does the best. And when we moved from that wide 9-4-3 to our two-gap 3-4, you know, Vinny probably of all the guys had the longest, transition, the farthest to move in on that transition line. And he's done a great job of working his tail off, of getting better at both. We still do like to take advantage of the skill set of the individual players, and that's why a lot of times we put Vinny in there and let him penetrate and don't ask him to two-gap, and I think that's a lot of what you see when we put him in there and let him gap penetrate. He's very good at it, and he's had a lot of disruption in the backfield, and that's what those penetrators do, and as we move forward, Vinny is getting better and better at the two-gap.
Thank you very much for that call. Mr. Mike Lake has a question for Bill Davis. Mr. Mike Lake, how are you this evening?
How you doing, Dave?
Doing great, thanks.
How are you doing, Bill?
Great.
Glad to have me on here. Enjoying the opportunity. My question concerns defense, so it'll be for Bill. I was watching the games and also down at all the home games this year, and especially the last couple games where Carmichael is playing. I've noticed that he's gotten away with some calls where he was defending long passes down the field and couldn't get his body turned around towards where the ball was coming from, and there wasn't really anything called a couple of times. But I was wondering how you go about teaching that to these young players and kind of why, it almost seems like half of the referees in the NFL will call that, and the other half will just let it go if the pass is knocked down or whatever by the guy not even seeing the ball there, you know, just fronting somebody.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, that's, the as far as the officials go, I think one of the things we've noticed this year is on both sides, on both offenses, the officials are letting the guys play and hand fight a little bit more than they had in the past. So when you see the contact down the field, and what the officials have told us is if it doesn't alter the path of the wide receiver, or in turn the wide receiver doesn't alter the path of the defensive back, that they're going to let them play and play a little bit more than they had in the past couple of years. So you see a little bit more of the contact downfield without the flags, which is nice defensively. And, you know, as far as teaching the technique of the deep ball, I think John Lovett does a great job. Our defensive back coach is weekly and almost daily. We have a deep ball session for the players, and one of the biggest things we teach is to try to maintain your stride in a calm, confident way as far down the field as you can, and really read the body language of the receiver and let him take you to the ball, because what you know is 1,000% of the time the wide receiver is going to go to where the ball is in flight, and if you track him and stay in stride calmly, then you usually don't get the pass interference calls. And I think our guys are getting better and better at it. We haven't had Rock for a long time. I think he's improving on that technique, but he's got a little ways to go with that also.
Thank you very much for that phone call. If you have a phone call or a question for Bill Davis, please hit *3, and we'll get to you as quickly as we can. We have a 9-year-old fan, Jack, who joins us on the conference call. Hi, Jack.
Hi.
How are you, buddy?
Good.
Good. Do you have a question for Coach Davis?
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually have two.
Okay.
Well, would you rather have interceptions or sacks on the defense?
That is a great question, and the answer is interceptions. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's interceptions is because we get possession of the football, so the defense can jog over and get some Gatorade and let Coach Kelly and the offense go try to score some points.
And then I have another one. It's like your opinion, but do you think you'd rather have Nick Foles play or Michael Vick play?
Thank you, Jack.
Jack, that's another good question, but I'm the defensive coach, so I leave all those questions to Coach Kelly. But I do say this. I like both those quarterbacks. They're very classy, hardworking men, and they both have won a lot of games in the NFL. And whoever helps us win the most, if they could both play and help us win, I'd be for that too. But I like them both, and I think they're great workers and good men.
Very good. Let's go down to the Jersey Shore. We've got a question from Robert Kiefer, who's a little chilly down in the Jersey Shore tonight. Hi, Robert.
Yes, it is. How you doing, guys?
Doing great. Thank
good.
You.
Okay, my question is for Bill, and I think it's a pretty good question. Number one, first I want to thank you for bringing back Philadelphia Eagles defense, the type of defense the fans are used to, and I think you should be commended for that. That's number one.
Well, thank you.
Number two, I met D'Amico Ryans recently, and what a fine young man he is, and a true professional. He carries himself unbelievably. And I just want to ask you if you think he's the quarterback, the man that can quarterback our defense for years to come.
Absolutely. I think you hit your first point, and I thank you for your compliment, but I've got to let you know that the defensive staff, that we've collectively put this playbook together, the game plans together. We've got a group of outstanding teachers and coaches, and I just call the game and kind of keep it all coordinated, but we've got a lot of men that contribute to the growing and the building of this defense, and the position coaches are the ones that take it, and they're on the ground level teaching this and making sure we practice and rep it and the fundamentals are taught. And I can't say enough about the defensive staff. It's a collective group effort. And on top of that, you can talk about the personnel department and the way they've kind of restructured and rebuilt the personnel on defense. So there's so many people that have a hand in this slight turnaround we've made defensively. And again, I'll say we've got a lot of work left, and we can do a lot better than we are doing, and we'll continue to grow in that area. And then to talk about D'Amico Ryans, I love talking about D'Amico because he is one of the classiest men that I've ever been around, let alone NFL players. And D'Amico is definitely our quarterback. He's our calming force in there. He's a hands-down leader of this defense. He sets a tone with both work ethic, intelligence. He's our most physical player. I hope that D'Amico is our quarterback for years to come.
All right, let's go to Richard, who has a question about Brandon Boykin. Hey, Richard, how are you tonight?
Hey, Dave and Bill, how are you guys doing?
Doing great, thank you.
Great. Coach, I completely understand the philosophy of leaving Boykin as a slot corner, so I totally get it. But given what an incredible athlete and playmaker he is, aren't there more ways you can get him on the field?
Well, you know, we struggle and we talk a lot about this, I think without changing personnel groupings, and I think that's one of the things we do. And most offenses give us three wide receiver sets for most of the game, and those three wide receiver sets make me go to nickel. They don't make me, but I choose to. The last couple games, we haven't had as much, particularly Washington. So I think Boyko will get in there most of the nickel snaps, and I think it's enough right now for where Brandon is that we can grow him at that nickel spot without pushing him out the corner. And I know you get that, but he's a fun young man to work with. He's getting better every week.
All right, we've got time for two questions with Coach Davis. Pat Shurmur is still in a meeting, and I don't think Chip's going to let him out here, so we're going to have Eagles tight ends Coach Ted Williams take some offensive questions. So if you have a question for Coach Williams about the offense, please get in at *3, and we'll get to you very shortly. Let's go to Baltimore and talk to Michael Ford. Michael, thanks for calling tonight.
How you doing, Dave? How you doing, Bill?
Doing great.
Great. I just wanted to ask Bill a question about the outside linebacker position. The past few games, Trent Cole and Connor Barwin have just been on fire. Is that a product of you added more into the defense, Bill, or is that just a product of the team, the whole team defense playing better, or are they just stepping up as individual players?
You know, we've got a solid, solid effort out of them all season, and there are some games in the 3-4 where just some of the you get more work or more action your way. And the last game, the Redskins gave a lot of edge action where our edges had to be set. We had some blitzes built in for both the run and the pass that kind of featured those guys. They've been doing a great job every game, week in and week out. And I know a lot of times we measure their success at that outside backer spot by sacks. But our goal defensively is to get the opponent offense out of rhythm and their quarterback uncomfortable in the pocket. And I think those guys have done a nice job of that all season. And the last couple weeks, it's probably shown up a little bit more on the stat sheet than but we've seen it on tape all year. We're very happy with those two.
All right, let's take one final question for defensive coordinator Bill Davis. Let's go to Victor, who has a question about one of the unsung heroes of this Eagles defense. Hi, Victor. Good evening.
Good evening, guys. Well, welcome to Philadelphia, Coach. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
I know a lot of people have been talking about DeMeco Ryans, but I think of watching the games with my son, we noticed a lot of disruptiveness from Cedric Thornton. We wanted to both know your opinion on the season that he's having.
You know, Ced's been a great surprise, a pleasant surprise for us as a coaching staff. When we first took the job, I didn't know much about Ced. When we moved to the 3-4 and we first started doing the base fundamentals and techniques, you saw how strong and thick and had a great wide base, and we said, oh, we may have something here. And then Coach Azanero has taken him, and like he has all of them, and really trained and worked the sleds and the two-gap with them. And Ced is always at the ball. He's got more contacts at the ball than any young defensive lineman in the 3-4 system that I've been around in a while. We're very excited about where he is right now as a young player, and I think the future that he has is very bright for Cedric Thornton.
Bill Davis, thank you very much for joining us on the Fan Forum tonight. Have a great bye week, and continue the great work.
Hey, thank you.
All right, we're joined now by Eagles tight ends coach Ted Williams, who has also been here coaching with the Eagles for many years, also the running backs. And Ted is part of the Eagles offensive coaching staff that is been doing so very well. If you have a question for Ted Williams, please give us a call and get *3 and we will get you into the queue and have you ask a question. Let's begin the questions with the offense here, and let's start with Brian Sweeney, who joins us on the Fan Forum. Brian, you're here with Dave Spadaro and Eagles tight ends coach Ted Williams.
Hey guys. First of all, Dave, I just want to mention that really appreciate this your efforts to get this type of thing together, especially with the coaches. It's a lot. You get more direct answers out of the coaches than, let's say, Chip Kelly or Howie Roseman or something. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Ted, congratulations on getting the momentum back, and it's so much more exciting for the fans now, and it's something that we really took everybody by surprise, and we're really happy about it, and I'm sure you are too.
Thank you.
But what I want to ask is, with Foles in there now as quarterback, I think the concern I have is he going to be running that much every game? Because I just don't want to see I don't see him as a runner, and I think that as much running as that is, it's going to expose him to injury pretty quickly.
Well, we obviously want to keep him healthy, but circumstances do dictate that he does run the ball some. We'd like not to be as much as he did last game because that kind of puts him in harm's way. But we're doing the best we can, in terms of trying to keep the offense balanced, and that's an option we can't afford to totally give up. But we'll continue to work to make it better.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
So much. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you very much for that phone call. I think we have Pat Shermer on the line. Pat, are you with us?
I'm with you. How's it going?
Great. Thanks for getting out of that meeting. And, Ted, thank you for stepping in here. We've got some questions now for Pat Shermer, the Eagles offensive coordinator. Let's begin our questions here in Northfield. And we are joined by Michael Murphy. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. You've got Eagles offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur on the line.
Hi, guys. Thank you very much. Certainly, as fans, we really appreciate you doing this. And more so, thank you for your success. It's been an awesome year so far. We're enjoying it. My question, pretty simple, is how do we get the tight ends more involved moving forward? I know we had some nice plays this past weekend. Certainly, Zach Ertz seems to be a tremendous athlete, but how do we get them involved even more going forward this year?
Well, you know what? We try to involve them every week. Yeah, as you saw, we targeted Ertz. We have, you know, screen passes in every week to Celek and James Casey. And so, you know, they're an integral part of what we do on offense. You know, I've said it before. I think the production at the receiver position comes in bunches, you know, and I think there are games when the receivers touch the ball more than tight ends. And then there's games when the tight ends, you know, get quite a few opportunities. So, you know, when we play our best ball, you know, at the end of the day, if we've got 7 or 8 different receivers touching the ball, then that's a good thing. We're very fortunate here, though, that we have, you know, a good group of tight ends. And I was talking today in the press conference about Brent Celek and how tough he is and what he means to this team. And we're very fortunate we got a good group there.
Let's go to Ed, who wants to know about the locker room. Ed, thanks for joining us on the Fan Forum.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for doing this.
Sure.
I just have a simple question about the team in general and the winning record that they now have. How has it impacted the locker room? Since there's so much controversy with locker rooms lately, how has this impacted the Eagles locker room?
Yeah, you know, there's obviously with what's happening in Miami, you know, guys, the workplace and the locker room is kind of in the forefront. But I would say this. You know, we've got a bunch of guys that have a healthy respect for one another. We have a head coach and we have assistant coaches that believe that respect is just given and trust is earned. And from what I can tell, you know, we've got some very competitive guys and we've got some guys, but we have what I would consider to be a very healthy locker room in terms of how guys have to interact in the workplace, as well as do it in a way that it is somewhat the way that NFL locker rooms work. You know, they're very competitive. They're very physical guys. You know, they joke. They fun with one another. But for the most part, the basis and foundation of what we're all about is we respect one another and what each guy brings to the table. And so from a locker room standpoint, that's good. Now, it's a lot nicer to go to work, and it's a lot nicer to correct your mistakes and get ready for the next opponent when you're on a 3-game winning streak, because you're able to see that the, you know, the results of your work. And I think that's kind of where we're at as well.
Thank you very much for that call. We're joined by Eagles offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur, our Fan Forum here this evening. We thank you for joining us. Let's go to Jake Webster, who has a question for us. Hi, Jake.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Hi. I would like to have a question for Coach Shurmur.
Yes.
I would like to know, how much did the playbook change with Nick Foles at quarterback instead of the mobile Michael Vick?
Jake, that's a great question. I would say this, you know, we're running the same offense with Nick Foles at quarterback as we would with Mike. We probably do just a touch more in the drop back game and a little bit less of the zone read game. But I would say, generally speaking, it's exactly the same playbook. Both quarterbacks, in our opinion, function well from the pocket, and that's very primary if you're going to play quarterback in this league. And but for the most part, it's pretty much the same.
Great. Thank you very much for that question, Jake. We've got a few more minutes with offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur. We've got Lewis, who is a season ticket holder since 1960, joining us. Lewis, thanks for your great support.
Yeah, I almost had a heart attack towards the end of the game, and it seemed like that Nick Foles wasn't getting the plays very efficiently towards the end of the game, and he was looking towards the bench, that the offensive players were looking for the bench.
Right.
And I just thought maybe it could be set up ahead of time. If they get into situation like happened last Sunday that they won't have to do that.
Well, you know what? You noticed what we were trying to do, and actually it was by design. You know, we were trying to run the plays and then also do it by you know, using the maximum amount of time. And so what we do is we set up, we line up in a formation, we get ready to go, and then there are times when we choose to really then change the play by looking to the sideline. And then if you'll notice, then Nick is watching the clock, and then we're getting the run play with, you know, inside of 5 seconds left on the clock so that you can maximize the use of if it's the 45 or the 25-second clock. So that was by design. You know, we're at the end of the game, which we call 4 minute, you know, where, you know, we're ahead, we're in control of the ball, and we're obviously trying to gain yards as well as establish another first down, which gives you more time. And I would say this, we just didn't do it effectively enough. The week prior against Green Bay, we were doing exactly the same thing where we chewed up 9 minutes. We did the same thing against Tampa Bay where we ended the game with the ball as well. We just need to run the plays better, and we need to give the players better plays. And, you know, we just were not as successful with that strategy as we were in the two games previous. So what you noticed was right, but we were actually doing it by design.
We've got a couple of more questions in line for offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur. Let's go to Vince. Vince, thanks for calling.
Hi, Dave. How are you? And hi, Pat. How are you?
Great, thank you.
Hey, Vince. How's it going?
Okay. Good. Pat, I first have to tell you, when Chip hired you, I was thrilled because I know you were with the Eagles the first time. So many people were impressed. And it had such a great reputation and did such great work, and I'm so glad you're back. Anyway.
Well, I tell you, thank you for that. We're thrilled to be back, and I'm just glad to have a small part in what we're building here.
Well, I know you're not going to admit this, but I know you're Chip Kelly's rock. So that's at least what my observation. Anyway.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The Dallas game and the Giants game, I know there was an issue with Michael Vick getting hurt, or Nick Foles having the concussion in the Dallas game, and then Matt Barkley finished and then played the whole Giants game, but no touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, after that game, obviously the offense just continued to pick up where it left off. Were there changes made? What do you think happened there?
Well, I think, you know, Coach talked about instability at the quarterback position, and that certainly was one factor. But we did, you know, step up the pace just a little bit more in the games after that, and, you know, obviously the beginning of the season we did the same. And so, you know, we didn't play well on offense, certainly not well enough to win games. And so anytime you do something and you don't have success, you go back and you sit back and you get in a room and you shut the door and you say, okay, what are the things that we need to do more of? What are the things we need to do better? And what are some of these things that we're doing right now that we're going to put on the shelf? And so we kind of had those meetings with ourselves as coaches, and then, you know, we made some subtle changes, and it wasn't so much the plays, but a little bit more about how we functioned and, you know, what players we had on the field, and, you know, we saw some positive results.
Okay, thank you very much for that question. Let's get to one more here, and we're going to go to Mark Krasner. Mark, thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me. Great job this year, Coach. I guess a couple real quick things. Let's say the offense really progresses. You see guys like Nick Foles. It's hard to believe he's only in his second year and a handful of starts, because this game last week, as an example, looked like every pass he threw was absolutely to the correct receiver. So just to get a little insight, if you share on exactly what happens, because we've never seen a team like this develop from week one to week 10 this quickly. How much of that playbook might even still be left to open up just to look ahead to these last 6 weeks? And I hate to ask this one, but on a side note, can you share a little bit about the process of when we have a chance to challenge calls on the field?
Sure. Well, in terms of the playbook and what more, we're constantly working on new ideas. We worked on some new ideas today, actually, in the last training session before the players left. And so we're constantly developing the playbook. we're constantly trying to maybe do the same plays but run them from different formations and with different people on the field. So that's a constant, that's a, you know, a dynamic process. I like to think our playbook has a little bit of a heartbeat. It just keeps, it keeps moving. You go back to doing the same things that are base and fundamental to our offense, but then we're always changing. And so in terms of Nick, when a quarterback is functioning in the way that Nick has in the last few weeks, what happens is he's getting comfortable with his receivers. He's understanding the progressions. And when he's getting it to the receivers in a timely manner, sometimes it's not the first read, it's the second or third. And it's just a, you know, it's just a comfort level. You know, it's played by a guy that's a good decision maker and is doing a good job. In terms of the challenging, I guess part two of your question, I would say, you know, we try to, if there's something that we think we can challenge, and we obviously know the rules very well as to what we can and cannot challenge, but if there's something we can challenge, whether it involves the sideline or the end zone or whatnot, we'll try to see it live. And then what we try to do then, because there is time sometimes between plays where we try to see it on the network feed, you know, in the press box, because the timeouts are very valuable, you know, and within a game, you know, there are times when you think it's, and you've seen it while watching TV, where you say, my goodness, that's a no-brainer, that's going to be overturned. And then all of a sudden you challenge it, and for whatever reason it doesn't. So we really want to be very sure. Although we're aggressive in a lot of ways, we're trying to push the pedal to the metal. You know, we're trying to score as many points as we can and play aggressive. You really have to be somewhat sure about what you're challenging. There may come a time in the game where it's the end of the game and it's a scoring play and it's the difference between winning or losing, where you may take a little bit of a risk even if you're not certain. But especially early in the game, you know, we want to make sure what we're doing is right, especially when you're talking about a couple of yards maybe, or the difference between a first down, or in the case of Riley Cooper's catch on the goal line, that was close. And that's one of those where if they'd have called it a touchdown, it might not have got reviewed. If they called it not a touchdown, it might not have got, changed, and vice versa. And we had a play dialed up that we were very certain that would score. So, you know, that's just the situation. But we're on top of it. Trust me, we're on top of it. And we discuss them, and we try to just make, you know, educated decisions as to when it's right and when it's wrong.
Pat, thanks. One more question. Robert's been waiting for an hour here to ask a question. Robert from Marlton. Robert, we thank you for joining us, and we thank everyone, guys. Ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, one question more for Pat Shurmur. Robert, it's your forum.
First, I just want to thank you guys for bringing meaningful football in the month of December back to Philadelphia. Whatever success this team has got, it's directly attributable this year to the coaching staff, because you guys have gotten the most out of your resources. You've done so much so quickly, all of you, special teams, offense, defense, deep backs. It's just tremendous. My question, are we ever going to see a fullback on this team, some sort of fullback option for a third and short, or maybe used as a blocker for Shady?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, philosophically, we've gone the route of we really don't have a fullback type player on our team, and there's reasons for it. You know, you'll see there's times when we'll use James Casey or Brent Celek in the backfield in a fullback type position. We pretty much believe in the one back set and the field being spread out, whether it's two tight ends on the field or three receivers, or, you know, there are times when we play four receivers. There's times when we play three tight ends, quite frankly. But as time goes on, you know, if we feel like that's the right player to add to our roster, we will. But at this point, you know, philosophically, we feel good about the way we're trying to move the football and scoring points. And, you know, that's a player that's probably not the highest priority in the way we function.
Great. Hey, Pat, thank you so much. Bill Davis, thank you so much. Ted Williams, thank you so much. And all of you Eagles fans, thanks so much for joining us on our fan forum tonight. Enjoy the bye week. Come back strong on December 1st. We will have more fan forums in the future, so we'll make sure to let you know. And everyone, thanks for your great support. And go Eagles, and let's go beat the Arizona Cardinals on December 1st. Thanks, everyone. Have a great Eagles night.